It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Vibes are up on the best day of the week, man. He's James, I'm Kyle. No Joe Brazil today, but Joe going to be back with us tomorrow, and then sounds like maybe the next day, and the next day, and the next
forever
day.
Forever and ever, amen.
And the next day. Salute to our guy, Joe Brazil. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you till noon. Look, here's the deal. So the Kings won last night, obviously. If you were listening to this program, hopefully you know that. 118-101 the final, and we'll get to it. The NBA Sentinel drama last night was great theater. So if you're unfamiliar, there's a parody account on Twitter. There's a aggregation account on Twitter called Dunk Central.
Okay.
The NBA Central. And a fake account parodying that account.
Okay.
Called NBA Sentel, C-E-N-T-E-L, gets people all the time. They post fake stories. National people will retweet it, thinking that it's Dunk Central aggregating something legit.
Of course.
So NBA Sentel got... the last time I got by Sentel was the Luka Doncic jersey story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Colin Cowherd? Got by this one. Basically, it's a story that said, is a fake story that said the Mavs weren't letting Mavs fans wear Luka jerseys into the arena anymore. And they were going to turn those people away because they're trying to move forward from the Luka era. And I sent that to a friend, and then immediately after sending it, was like, nope, got sent, dang it. So anyways, that account got suspended from Twitter.
Yeah.
And I don't know what started it. But, like, the Kings tweeted hashtag RIP Sentel and then dedicated the beam lighting from last night to Sentel. The Pistons did the same thing. My Pistons, by the way, smoking the Boston Celtics.
Are they up to 8 in a row?
Yes.
8 in a row.
117-97, I think the final was.
Hottest team in basketball.
Cooking, bro. See Asar Thompson put Jason Tatum on skates?
Uh-oh.
Come on. Let's go, boys. Anyways. So all these teams, I tweeted about it. Stephen A. Smith tweeted about it. It was confirmed this morning that NBA Sentel is back on Twitter. They've done it. It was big time. Elsewhere in non-Kings news, real quick off the top. The media drama at the NFL Combine is the most fascinating part of the NFL Combine.
It's amazing.
I am having... First of all, Mike Florio wrote about this at Pro Football Talk. If you want to read a masterclass in blogging about an unserious thing, go read Mike Florio's story in Pro Football Talk on this. But here's the gist of it. Jordan Schultz.
Yes.
Heir to the Starbucks fortune.
I had no idea that he was Howard Schultz's son.
Yes, dude. This random NFL insider who has worked for like Bleacher Report and Fox... And the score?
He usually has like good stuff.
Yeah. When he reports something, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a thing. Like he's legit. I just always forget. I think he's at Fox Sports now. I'm pretty sure he's at Fox Sports now. He reported yesterday that Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford met at Tom Brady's house in Montana. Ian Rappaport later reported that they didn't meet at Tom Brady's house. They just happened to both be in Montana and ran into each other and like exchanged pleasantries, had a little chat, and then went their separate ways.
Okay. I often am in Montana, and sometimes I bump into other media members that I, you know, don't normally see. So, you know, like when you're in Montana, sometimes you run into Woj.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know.
That's how it goes, man.
It is.
So,
there's like 14 people in Montana. Go ahead.
Who among us has not been gallivanting around Montana and run into a famous person?
That's right.
I'm trying to find, because the story now eludes me. I want to read this directly. Here we go. The headline is Jordan Schultz verbally accosted Ian Rappaport at a Starbucks in Indianapolis. Not just any Starbucks, though. The Starbucks inside the JW Marriott in Indianapolis, where like all the stuff is.
Where the Combine is.
I don't think the Combine is at there, but
it's probably the media hotel.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is according again to Pro Football Talk. We're told that Rappaport, again, because Rappaport sort of refuted Schultz's report. We're told that Rappaport was talking to an agent. Schultz approached Rappaport and said, "We need to talk." Rappaport replied, "We don't need to talk," which is an incredible response in itself.
Of course.
Schultz then made accusations about Rappaport, we're told. Rappaport regards the accusations as unfounded. The two men were essentially face to face. Quote, "If you have anything to say to me, say it to my effing face," Schultz said, or specific words to that effect. "If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem." Schultz said he did not use profanity. But Ian Rappaport calls security, NFL security, because he saw this as a physical threat.
Mm.
And so now the NFL is investigating Jordan Schultz for accosting Ian Rappaport at a Starbucks at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. NFL insider drama, baby.
That's awesome.
Incredible. What a jerk.
Yeah.
What an ass. This does not make Jordan Schultz look good.
No.
Whether he's correct or not doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He might be right. In fact, I'm inclined to believe he's right.
I would probably agree with him that he's right. I think he's probably pissed because his integrity is being questioned by Ian Rappaport.
Yes.
And he just, like, he's not down with that.
Yeah, and I get it to an extent because he's not, like, Jordan Schultz, for as much work as he's done to get to the point he's at, he's not Adam Schefter. He's not Ian Rappaport.
Mm-hmm.
People take what he says credibly.
Yeah, he breaks stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, we don't put him in that category.
No.
When we say, hey, who's going to break this major news? We used to say it's going to be Woj or Shams. It's going to be Schefter or Rappaport. Nobody's saying it's Jordan Schultz. So I get where he's still like climbing that hill and he's trying to punch up.
Mm-hmm.
But dog, this is not the way to do it. Let your reporting speak for itself.
I enjoyed reading the play-by-play of it.
It's
because
so good.
It's so good. And as someone who worked for NBC forever, I'm surprised that thing didn't get edited down, because there is a whole lot of not F star.
Oh yeah, no, it spells out the F word
again and again and again.
A lot of times.
Yeah. And then to just throw the barb, son of, Starbucks fortune, Howard Schultz, you're like, whoa, wait, yeah. I did not know that Jordan Schultz was the son of Howard Schultz.
Yeah, the fact that it happened at a Starbucks provides an intriguing coincidence. Schultz,
yes,
is the son of former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz.
Just like, boom, just gonna throw that in there. Just
drop that in.
And then the cup, have a nice day, I think it is, the yeah, picture
oh,
of a
just
cup.
Incredible work. It's amazing. Look, I'm not a Mike Florio guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, I'm not a huge fan.
Okay.
He's very good at what he does. I think he has a lot. He's really smart, especially with like contractual stuff. This was a masterclass in blogging.
Yeah.
And I'm inclined to think that if he's in Indianapolis, this was published at 12:53 a.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
So my guess is Mike Florio was enjoying himself quite a bit.
Oh, got it. Got it.
That would be that's my inclination. Again, I don't know. I just wouldn't be shocked if that was the case. So if you'd like to keep up on the latest media drama at the NFL Scouting Combine, hit Pro Football Talk and read about it.
I'm also thinking he probably sat there and was in the Starbucks and watched it all unfold.
So I don't think he was.
Okay, you just think that
because
this...
if he had seen it, he would have written it right away.
Mm.
I think this is a thing that was, there was like, the story was floating around that like, oh, this thing happened. And I think Mike Florio went to work hitting sources to find details.
Okay.
And found them. And then published them.
It's wild.
Incredible. Amazing. Speaking of incredible and amazing, he's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Kings won again last night, 118-101. Basically kind of what we said. Can you get a win where you maybe don't win by 40, but just control the game for the most part?
Yeah.
Which I think they did. They're 2-1 through their first three coming out of the break. Keegan Murray scored 20 points. That's big time for our guy, Keegan.
Yeah. Season high 26 points. It's the fourth time this year that he scored 20 or more. And the first time since before Thanksgiving.
November 24th.
His season high came in on opening night, right?
I think so.
I think it was. It was 23 on opening night.
Yeah.
I hit you early. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, this was when he had like 12 13. Points.
He 13. Had 13. Yep, okay. Yep. It was at halftime. And we, of course, went back and forth with Witty Bander like we do. And then he just kept going. And it was, for me, like, the Kings just need him to be that player and to be a refined three-point shooter, someone who, you know, get to put back dunk here and there, somebody who every once in a while takes the ball off the dribble and goes. Like, they are a better team when Keegan Murray is rolling.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, he has not been able to be that player this season. And so for me, I this is exactly what the Kings needed. It's a huge, huge development for them. But one game does not make a, you know.
So that's it.
Yeah.
That's where, and again, I'm sorry to be a Debbie Downer, but we've said this a million times about Keegan. We have said this. We've been doing this show for the better part of two seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we been like, wow, what a great game from Keegan. That's the Keegan they need. When he plays like that, they're really hard to beat.
Too many.
So many. It reminds me of was it Mark Twain who had the quote, quitting smoking's easy, I've done it hundreds of times? Like, it's that, that's what, so I see Keegan have this awesome night, and he was excellent on mm-hmm. both ends of the court. I'm not trying to take that away. It's just like, I know he can do that. My concern was not, hey, is Keegan Murray capable of scoring 20? Like, no, we know he is.
Yeah.
We know Keegan can go do this. We know that Keegan is a good enough offensive player that when he goes and takes, I think, 16 shots, the second most shots he's taken in a game this season, when he goes and takes, it's like, yeah, that's kind of what he should be doing on a night-in, night-out basis. My question with Keegan is not the ceiling. My question with Keegan is, can I get that every night?
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge problem. And I'll continue to say this. The Kings didn't do him any favors at all this season. Because this is a kid who is in his, like, he's extension eligible this summer. They did not do him any favors. Adding DeMar DeRozan as opposed to anyone else, like a Cam Johnson type, mm-hmm. just really took away opportunities. When they made the move to put Malik Monk into the starting lineup, just took away more opportunities. He went from a guy who was potentially your third leading scorer coming into this season, and you pushed him all the way down to 12 points a game. And I don't think that it was intentionally, although, like, it's not like this franchise hasn't done that in the past.
Sure.
But it was the byproduct of the acquisitions that they made and the byproduct of promises that may have been made to Malik Monk. And at the end of the day, Keegan Murray just kept dropping down the pecking order. And that's just a really tough thing for a young player, especially a young player who, you know, averaged 15 points a game last season. He was on the rise.
Yep.
And then
he
all
didn't
of a
shoot
sudden,
it as well from three, but I mean, just offensively last year, you saw him expand the bag a little bit, and mm-hmm. you went, "Oh, at some point he's going to start hitting threes again."
Well, that, and at some point we thought he'd start taking guys off the dribble a little bit more. We mm-hmm. thought we would see more of the development, right?
Yeah.
And then to just have like the rug ripped out from underneath you as far as a player and as far as who you are and where you fit into a system, it got. I mean, it's tough. You know, we talked like the weird gardening metaphor we used yesterday.
That's strong. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I think we did that at the break, but it's like you have to understand, like, when you're gardening, that there are certain things that go together and certain mm-hmm. things that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, they're like a tomato plant has to have nitrogen. It, like, it sucks the mm-hmm. earth dry of all the nitrogen. And so you put basil around it. They don't like eat nitrogen the same way, but also they help replenish the ground and they keep bugs away.
Sure.
And so there are different plants that work with different things. And it's very similar in basketball. Like mm-hmm. you can't just randomly throw a bunch of things out there and think that everyone is going to grow and everyone's going to prosper in the same way. And in all honesty, the roster creation this season has hampered the development of Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would be this dramatic, and I also thought that there would be this point where DeMar DeRozan was way up here and Keegan Murray was here,
yep,
and we would start seeing this shift, mm-hmm, and where DeMar started to, you know, age.
Take more of a backseat.
Yeah, take more of a secondary role, and mm-hmm, Keegan would elevate. Keegan just became an afterthought this entire season. Like, he, of all the drama, of all the things that have happened this season, he's kind of skated by because he's the one that didn't take the leap offensively that everyone thought. And mm-hmm, and again, I'm not blaming him 100%. He needs to shoot the ball better and stuff like that, but he also needs the opportunity. He needs to be in rhythm. I really do think that this is probably, when we get done with this season, one of the biggest true disappointments of the season will be the lack of development of Keegan Murray.
Yep.
You know, and that's with you trading De'Aaron Fox. That's with you firing Mike Brown. That's with all of the other things that have happened. One of the biggest disappointments of the season is that he hasn't been able to elevate. And hopefully this is, maybe this is a moment where he starts to.
He took 10 threes last night, tied for his most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's only done that twice. He's taken double-digit threes twice. And no coincidence, they're the two highest scoring games of his season as well. So it's like, this is that's great that we saw it for one night, but I don't need to see a Keegan Cook for one night. Before,
no.
I need this on a little bit more regular basis before I start to get excited about it. So it helped them win last night, 118-101. They took care of business. They're 2-1 through their first three out of the All-Star break. I think you probably take that, but we'll dig into that. We'll dig into plenty of other stuff from last night. John Lynch spoke at the Combine. We'll talk about that. And I have a question about the Kings that we'll get to as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
What did Shams say?
Shams right now is reporting that New York center Ariel Hakpati has suffered a torn meniscus in his left knee and expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. I've never heard of that person at
all.
If I were to put on a list of names and put up Ariel...
It's, how do you spell this?
H-U-K.
Oh, okay.
P-O-R-T-I.
Oh, okay.
If you would have said this is a real person, I would have said erroneous.
Hails from Stralsund, Germany.
Okay.
As one does. Second round pick in this year's draft. He's played in 25 games for the Knicks this year. So this knee injury that has him out 4 to 6 weeks, he will not be eligible for All-NBA.
Oh, that's true.
That's tough. He's playing less than 9 minutes a night and averaging 2 points and two boards.
Yeah, it's my bad. I had no idea that this person actually existed. 7-footer, 246 pounds.
Averaging 8 and 8.5 per 36.
I wonder if he's German or if he's because his parents were in the military,
right,
and he was born in Germany.
I have no idea. I could not even begin to tell you because I didn't know this person existed until 40 seconds ago.
I also did not know he existed either. He was a two-way
player. I wonder why Shams tweets that. Like you said, this is not, it's not, so he started for the Knicks against Philly and played 16 minutes. He played 19 minutes against Cleveland in a blowout loss and played 17 against Chicago the night, or their previous game in a overtime win. But it's not like he was a regular rotation piece before that. Do you think it's like an agent favor, just getting his name out there?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, to
no
me,
clue.
That's odd. Either way, like, hopefully he's all right. I mean,
yeah, fingers crossed.
Especially for a young player.
Yeah, fingers crossed he's okay, and maybe he'll come back and he'll be a factor in the playoffs. That's certainly the hope. Getting back to the Kings, I want to talk about some of the games that happened last night around the league that had an impact on the Kings, but I'm trying to help me here. I did not walk away from last night. I was not moved. The Charlotte game, I watched that and went, okay, there's that. I didn't see anything last night that made me feel like, okay, there's, and it's not going to happen. Again, this is not a linear thing. It's not just going to be, oh, hey, every game they're going to get a little bit better and that's how it's going to go. So this is not like, oh my God, they're awful. But I just, last night was like, okay, you kind of took care of business. You checked the same box that you checked against Charlotte. That's better than not checking it. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, now it feels like here's where the rubber is going to actually meet the road over the next 8 games. You needed to win last night, no doubt. But I just, I wasn't moved. These last 2 games might just be those games. I remember in early December where they scored 140 points in back-to-back games against the Spurs and the Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
They beat the Spurs by 27 and then beat the Jazz by 44. And we're like, okay, here they are. The Kings have arrived. And then turns out they hadn't. That's sort of what I'm afraid this is.
I think it's funny because we came into this game thinking that, like, I think I said it, I believed it would be between like an 18 and 20 point.
Yeah, you pretty
win,
much nailed it. Yeah.
Right. And so when you get into that game, if it was 16, it was 17, it was 18.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
They control the game.
Yeah,
sure.
You control the game. And I think what we're hoping is that they would start cleaning things up, that they would look better here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, they didn't. They were just a much better team. They were just a much better collection of players. And that's what I keep finding. There are games where they just look like 5 dudes who just randomly walked out onto a basketball court. And,
yeah,
you know, and so you're always waiting. Like, again, I think some of the good stuff that we took from the game before, the Hornets game, it's not so much that they won by 40 something. That was really, really like, okay, good. You won by 40
something. They got to 40 because Zach LaVine went insane in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and the game was, you know, like either way, they were up 16 going to the fourth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the game was never in doubt. But I think what we liked from that game was that they ran the ball through Domantas Sabonis the whole first half.
Mm-hmm.
And so the game started looking easier and easier and easier. And all of a sudden there was a flow to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things that started to piece together, I just felt like some of that wasn't there in this game. And, you know, again, I like the fact that Keegan Murray had a moment where he stepped up and had his breakout game. And to be honest with you, it might have been intentional. It mm-hmm. might have been the Kings saying, hey, tonight we're going to work really hard to get Keegan Murray going because we know we can win this game. But we need him to figure things out, and so we have him for the stretch run here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was the intent. Let's run more actions for Keegan Murray. That's possible, but I think what stands out to us, to me, to everyone who watched the game, was that Domantas Sabonis just was not very good for a second straight game, and I believe this is only the second time since he joined the Sacramento Kings that he's gone back-to-back games without a double-double.
I certainly don't remember a...
There was one other stretch like 2 years ago where he had 2 games where he did have a double-double. And so it's not that that's the end-all be-all, that Domantas Sabonis has to have a double-double in every game. But it's like he didn't get a double-double because he didn't score in double figures. And that
was 2 nights ago.
Well, last night. Oh,
last
no,
night
you're right. You're right. He did get to 12.
Here's what jumps out from last night. And again, you hit the nail on the head there. You say it's not the end-all be-all. And that's correct. But his first half stat line, 4 points, 7 boards, no assists. And then the second half, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists.
They're not repeating the things that are working.
Right. I don't. And again, we're hyper focusing on Domas here. This is not the only thing that we're taking away from last night, but it's certainly a big one.
Yeah.
And he is their best player, correct?
I certainly think he's their best player.
If you think Zach LaVine is their best player because he's going to put the ball in the hoop more, okay, that's fine. Domas is still extremely important to what they're doing. And I just, you cannot have these stretches and where he's just a non-factor if you're going to reach the heights that you want to reach.
Yeah, and he dropped under 20 points per game last night for the first time in months.
That's crazy.
So over his last 12 games, I know we checked yesterday, his last 11 games, he's averaged 16 points. I'm going to guess he's at 15.5,
mm-hmm.
like 15.4 points per game over his last 11. It's just like you're waiting for this moment where he takes off again mm-hmm. and he starts to look like himself. And not only that, but Walker Kessler just destroyed him.
He cooked him, dude.
That was crazy. Shocking. Shocking that... You know, Walker Kessler has not played well against Domas throughout his career. And to watch him, that's the problem, is that Domas doesn't look like himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it started in the first play of the game.
Yep.
He got all the way, and he flipped the ball up in the air and, like, missed, and then...
He smoked, like, multiple layups last night.
I think he smoked a dunk.
He lost defensively.
Yeah, there's also a moment where, early in the game, he went to throw a pass on the baseline to DeMar DeRozan. And just, like, threw the ball out of bounds. Like, everything looked weird. They turned the ball over the first three possessions.
It was ugly.
Yeah, although one of them was a team turnover because it was a shot clock violation. Mm. But even the shot clock violation was because Malik Monk was over dribbling and thought somebody kicked it and watched the ball, took 2 seconds to roll out of bounds, and then they had 0.7 on the clock. Like, just the basics of the game, it took them, like, 4 minutes to score two baskets.
I think that's what's bothering me. Because we asked for them to blow out the Jazz, and that's what they did. They tied the first quarter, they won the next three quarters, and they won the game by 17. There was never really a point after the first quarter that I thought they were going to lose.
Yeah.
So I'm walking this weird line because I'm not trying to discredit what they did last night. But at the same time, if you play like they did in the first 15 minutes of that game against a good team, you're going to be down 15 points.
At least.
At least. And that goes for the game against Charlotte, too. And like you said, it feels like they're winning these games. And this is my concern. And again, they have an 8-game stretch coming up where we're going to learn a lot more about them and where exactly they are on this NBA hierarchy. Because if they go 6-2 over those 8 games, we're going to feel a lot different. At least I sure am.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've seen the last couple of nights is, okay, you took care of business, that's great, but I want something to grab onto where I go, this is okay, this is better, this is the thing, this is their identity, this is the thing that's going to catapult them moving forward. I see the vision, I see where they're going. Right now they're just out talenting bad teams.
Yes, that's exactly what happened last night. They were just better because the other team decided to sit their three top scorers.
And also, Jordan Clarkson went 1-for-14 from the field.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, surprisingly, they started Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
Where they didn't the night before, or mm-hmm. a couple of games, the 2 days before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that team not only were they resting their top three scorers, they started their fourth scorer in Jordan Clarkson, who couldn't hit anything, and their fifth highest scorer, who averages almost 17 a game, was coming off the bench as well. Like, it was just an odd. It was an odd game because we're expecting them to, like, roll. And they did roll, but there's still some clunkiness to it. And you're hoping that they clear up some of that issue. And mm-hmm. I don't know if they will or not.
So that's where if you're trying to go, hey, I'm optimistic, be optimistic. Okay, well, that's the optimism.
Yeah.
The optimism is they boat race these two teams, and then instead of sneaking past them like they did against the Pelicans.
Well, that, and I think the optimism is that in one game, Zach LaVine clearly found himself. In the next game, Keegan Murray clearly looked like the mm-hmm. Keegan Murray that we've seen at least part of the time last year and mm-hmm. a bunch of times in this rookie season. He looked more like the player yep. we expect.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean 26 points. It means he looked confident. He looked ready. He looked like he was part of the plan.
There weren't massive stretches where I forgot Keegan Murray was playing.
Yes.
That was the difference last night. One of the other things I really liked from last night, again, if we're looking for just little things for reasons for optimism, I loved the shot distribution from the starters.
Mm.
Malik Monk, 12, Domas, 12, DeRozan, 14, Keegan, 16, LaVine, 18. That's more, to me, what it needs to look like instead of Keegan 6, Domas 8.
Yes.
LaVine 22. Like, that's... I think the maximized version of the Kings looks more like that statistically, where it's a little more democratic. And then you have Keon Ellis coming off the bench, going 4 of 5. You have Jonas Valanciunas, who was awesome last night, going 6 of 7. He knocked down his only 3. Keon continues to stay hot from beyond the arc. He had 3 out of 4. The other thing I'm trying to take away and spin forward
mm-hmm.
is I think they have a really effective bench.
Yeah, it's starting to piece together. And even the fact that Markelle Fultz played, what, like 4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And Jake LaRavia didn't score again.
Yep.
Jake LaRavia, whether he scores or not, he has a major impact on the game.
Yeah.
I mean... I know a lot of people were super concerned about whether the Kings were going to be able to retain him or not.
Mm-hmm.
I told everybody, like, look, that will take care of itself. Like, he did not want to be in Memphis, like, at all. There, it's very clear he did not want to be in Memphis.
Interesting.
But he plays with the same, like, sort of motor that the players from Memphis play with, which I think is something that, like, really helps the Kings.
Big time.
Right now, he's averaging 1.7 points and 2 rebounds, and he's playing 13.3 minutes a game. He's shooting 26% from the field and 18% from three. Like, he hasn't found his offensive game at all or where he belongs. And that, I think you can look at the way his season has gone with the Kings so far and really highlight the fact that a role player doesn't have any idea what his role is except for to hustle. And I think everything that he's doing on the court is great, except for scoring. And it's okay that he doesn't score because the Kings don't need another score. But what you do notice is that there are way too many times where it's like he just doesn't look like the player that he has in the past. And that's because he's trying to find his way. And it really is sort of when I think Jake LaRavia puts together a real game and ends up scoring 12 points or something, that's going to be the game where you're like, oh, okay. The Kings are figuring it out, not Jake LaRavia. Sure. The Kings are figuring out like how this group of players works together.
I told you when they signed Jake LaRavia, or excuse me, traded for Jake LaRavia. I told you when they traded for Jake LaRavia that he was going to have a frequent impact outside the box score.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, no points, no rebounds, no assists, 0 for 3 from the field, 0 for 2 from the 3-point line. One turnover, 4 fouls, plus 11.
The game before he didn't score, he was a plus 28.
Dog.
Yeah.
So this is not Jake LaRavia as their most important player.
Nope.
If they got to the playoffs and Doug Christie said, hey, Jake LaRavia is going to play 6 minutes a night, it would make sense when you're shortening the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not. But when I say the bench is coming together, it's stuff like that. It's just this is an impactful player that they have that is taking some of the onus off the starters, whether it's defensively, whether it's making plays offensively. Last night, Keon was knocking down shots, and Valanciunas was really, really good. So they didn't need a tertiary scorer on the bench. Just can you continue to have an impact in these other ways? And that's what I think the Kings are missing or have been missing. Just those players who...
Glue guys.
They're gonna affect winning outside of shots and points.
Yes.
And outside of even rebounds and assists. What are the other little things? Hustle plays, tipping out a rebound. There's
the ball where he saves the ball from going out of bounds, flicked it behind his back to Malik Monk, who hits Valanciunas for a hammer.
Yep.
Like that was he saved two points.
Awesome.
He gave them 2 points that were not going to be there.
Yep. Just creating possession.
Yeah, and that's what I like. Again, whether the Kings can keep him or not, it just depends on if he wants to stay and if somebody gives him like way more than the $5.1 million the Kings can offer. But I certainly think that we're backing down off of this idea that there's no way they can keep Jake LaRavia. He's gone scoreless in 4 of the last 5 games. And the one game that he did score, he had 3 points. The game before that he had 2. So over his last 6 games, he's got 5 points.
Hmm.
But it doesn't matter. Like, what matters is that he's impacting winning.
Yep.
And the same way that Jonas Valanciunas came in last night, what he did to Filipowski was just like, that was tough.
Welcome to the NBA.
He just threw that kid around like a rag doll.
That's one of those things where Kyle Filipowski is going to be on a podcast in 15 years, and he's going to get asked about his welcome to the NBA moment. And he might have a couple other ones. I have not followed the career of Kyle Filipowski super, super close.
Nope.
I've seen him at the Kyle meetings, but haven't really gotten to talk to him. I could see him being like, man, we played this game. I think it was in January or February against the Kings and Jonas Valanciunas. I could see that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what last night looked like.
Yeah, he just got destroyed.
It's tough.
But that's the nice thing about having Jonas. When you have an off night from a player like Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Now you have a player. I mean, I also point out Trey Lyles did not play last night, got a DNP CD, and he was a did not play coach's decision in the previous game in the first half, and then came in and scored like 8 points.
DNP Christie's decision?
Oh, yeah, there it is. There it is. Christie's decision.
DNP DCD did not play Doug Christie's decision.
That's right.
Yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
They realistically had an 8-man rotation last night with a little bit of Markelle Fultz.
A smattering of Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, a tiny, tiny, small
sprinkle
smattering
of Fultz.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think that's their best 8 dudes who played last night. And they were the bench was really good. The starters, I love the shot distribution. There's some things they still have to clean up, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know. That's why we watch sports.
Yep.
Because if we knew for a fact, it would be way less fun. But I'm not sitting here going, wow, hey, this is the favorite for the 6th seed now because they've won these last 2 games. So that's where I'm standing. Over these next 8, we'll learn a lot. I'm more optimistic now about the next 8 games than I was prior to the last couple games.
I agree.
So we'll see how that goes. We'll take a look around the NBA scoreboard. And John Lynch talked at the Combine yesterday and addressed basically all of the major things going on with the 49ers. So we'll get into some of that news as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program, and it's on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. Hey, something I've been meaning to do since Monday, and I keep getting sidetracked, so I'm going to do it right now before we talk about what John Lynch said yesterday. Went downtown with some friends this weekend, and we dropped by Mojo's Local Tap and Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an ad. I just wanted to shout them out because that's a good spot. It's a good indoor-outdoor seating. They have a King's wall. No disrespect to the Applebee's on Arden, but their King's wall at the local at Mojo's Local Tap and Kitchen was significantly better. Tons of TVs, really good beer selection. I think it was like 34 beers on tap, a bunch of them local. The food was really good. So if you're looking for a spot to watch a game, Mojo's Local Tap and Kitchen, salute. We had a good time out there.
I don't think I've been here.
Yeah, it's been a bunch of different stuff. When my friend was describing it to me, it's a few blocks from the arena, walking distance to the arena for sure. But yeah, we just had a really good time sitting there.
Okay. No, it looks nice. I'm looking at pictures. And the food looks wonderful.
Food was good. Beer was good. Vibes were up. Shout out to Mojo's, man.
Nice.
Like I said, not even getting paid for that. Just wanted to shout out a local business. Okay, so John Lynch talked at the Combine yesterday. Said a bunch of stuff regarding all the offseason storylines that we're following. Said the negotiations are underway with Brock Purdy. Talks are in their infancy, but negotiations are underway. I think hopes that anything is going to get done. Matt Barrows wrote about this in The Athletic. I think hopes that something is going to get done soon are out the window.
Yeah, that's weird, because if they're in their infancy, that means that like it's going to take 6 months before they learn how to crawl, and then maybe they take steps by 9 months if you're lucky.
I hope it's not that.
Yeah,
no, there's ridiculous. Still. I think the goal would be to get something done before the offseason program starts. But Purdy has been in the building every day. That's what Lynch said. He said he's been around. He's talking to everybody. It's not this weird, hey, I'm soft holding out thing until I get a deal. I think there's mutual interest in getting a contract done.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about this ad nauseum. My concern is way less the dollar amount, because whether it's $100 million guaranteed or $150 million guaranteed, like it's going to be expensive. Like it's going to be tough for the 49ers to retain high-priced players, to sign high-priced players. Like they can't have as top to bottom as expensive of a roster if you're housing a quarterback that's making $55 or $60 million annually, right? But on the other hand, the bigger deal to me, because that's going to be a hurdle regardless of what Purdy makes. The bigger deal to me is just getting it done well before training camp.
Yeah, is he playing on this deal this coming season? It won't supersede his final year of his contract. It won't overwrite the final year.
I doubt they would structure it that way.
They'll probably give him a signing bonus that will help like bring down the price of everything else.
Right.
And, you know, I think we've talked about this. The the guaranteed money situation is always going to be the biggest question when it comes to quarterback play, it seems like, because mm-hmm. it's so much of the contract. And then what we learned about that through, you know, conversations with our friends in the media world mm-hmm. that cover the 49ers is that they have to put that money in an escrow account.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the, you know, again, Brock Purdy's going to get $100 million plus mm-hmm. in guaranteed money. That has to like be like pulled out of one bank account and put into another bank account. So mm-hmm. it's there.
Yep.
Right. And that's a lot of money to like lose, like to just have it go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's why they keep doing this. But I don't know. It just feels weird that they always put themselves in a situation where they drag it out. And this isn't one where they should.
Number two.
Okay.
The 49ers are in talks with Talanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw.
Okay.
That's kind of interesting. I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of the 49ers safety situation with you all because I think it would probably bore everybody to tears. But it looked like Talanoa Hufanga was going to walk, and that's how they've operated. They've drafted safeties in the last 2 years, and it looked like that was going to be. But then Hufanga got hurt twice this year after tearing his ACL. One of those safeties didn't play as well. So I think the door is more open to a Hufanga return than it was going into last season. The interesting thing with Dre Greenlaw, we knew they were going to try and bring him back, but apparently Robert Saleh is like, need him.
Yeah, he's adamant that they need him back.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, I totally agree. Like, because like, look, over the last like two decades, the 49ers always have great linebackers. Mm-hmm. Whatever, they've done such an incredible job.
Yep.
You know, whether it's Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis, or, you know, even before that, you know, the Ken Norton era. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they've had all of these eras of great linebacker play.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have Fred Warner out there without Dre Greenlaw, it's just different. Your whole entire defense is different. Those two together are something like special. Now, Dre Greenlaw has to be healthy, but that doesn't change the fact that like those guys together, like they make you a top five defense most of the time. And I'm not sure that you can get there mm-hmm. by bringing in, you know, guys who quit on you late in the season and just some randos thinking that you're going to be able to fill the spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we're wrong. I hope that there's a like a common ground that they can come to, especially Greenlaw coming off like a bunch of injuries and not really like being able to perform at the highest level.
So it's going to be interesting because the Niners signed him to an extension a couple years ago because he had dealt with some injury stuff, and they got him at like bargain basement price. He just wanted some long-term security, and he got it. So it'll be interesting to see. And John Lynch said yesterday they're hoping to get it done before free agency. They want to get a deal done before that. But they would also understand if he wants to go see what's out there and see what his market is so the 49ers can act accordingly. The injury stuff is the only thing, the only question I have with him. If he's going to go get top five linebacker money, all right, go get it then.
No, totally.
And you can hope that one of your younger guys, D. Winters or Tatum Bethune, or maybe you're drafting somebody this year to replace him. Because I agree with you, man. We always talk about the defensive line and their pass rush, but their ability to control the second level in the middle of the field has just been huge because so many modern offenses are built on, hey, get rid of the ball quick, over the middle, easy throws. And when you can take those away and you force the quarterback to get to read two or three or four, that's when your pass rush starts to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And when those linebackers that are that good in coverage are also very good at getting downhill and sideline to sideline, all of a sudden your run defense looks awesome. And you're absolutely right. It's not a coincidence that you removed Dre Greenlaw from the equation last year. You try and plug in 47-year-old Devondre Campbell, who may or may not even like football. And hey, look, your defense is way worse. They got worse at several spots, to be totally sure. But I think that was a big one.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me at all that Robert Saleh is looking at this and going, man, we need this guy. If we're gonna maximize what we're doing defensively, we need Dre Greenlaw in here.
Yeah, and I agree with him like 100%. Like, I like that he's like, that's the position that he's taken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go get me my guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you got to pay him a little bit more, like, he probably deserves a little bit more because of what's happened.
Yeah.
Now, again, if he's going to get top-tier money, there's nothing you can do about that.
No doubt.
You know, but he's still a very, very good player.
Speaking of injuries, Brandon Ayuk's injury recovery is going well, according to John Lynch.
Okay.
There's a follow-up test coming soon that I guess, according to Matt Barrows, is going to shape his recovery timeline. So after this follow-up test, whenever that is, I think we'll get a better idea of, do they expect him to be back for training camp? Do they expect him to be back for week one? Then we'll have a better idea. But right now, it's all up in the air. There's not been a setback, which I think is as good as you can do right now, or as good as you can hope for. Like, they're not going to come out on February 27th to be like, yep, he'll be ready for week one. Here we go.
Yeah.
Or sometime before that. Like, they're just not going to put that on it until they know for sure. Okay, now that the healing has happened, now you get into the rest of the recovery.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, too, what they can, because the history of the ACL tear and the history of the specific injuries that he has outside of the ACL tear in the knee, you can track progress and where someone should get to and where they're at every step and whether they have a setback or not. You can track that, like, so easily now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just watching like range of motion testing and stuff like that I've seen the Kings do, and they start to see when a player is, when things are going wrong, like well before, like predictors.
Mm-hmm.
And you like either pull back or you've got to push through. You got to like more weight training or less weight training, or like, hey, like we don't like what's happening right now. We're going to let it cool down for 3 weeks. I think there's a lot that, you know, we'll learn about what's going on with his knee, but also like, it's so refined now as far as like an injury.
Yeah, for sure. A couple other things real quick. Trent Williams is going to be back. John Lynch confirmed that. And they're hopeful Christian McCaffrey is going to be ready to go for the offseason program, but it doesn't sound like he's going to participate in all of it because they want to make sure he's healthy, which makes sense, but that's going to be a huge question mark because he's 28 going on 29. And he had Achilles and knee injuries last year. So
yeah,
that'll be something to watch moving forward. All right, let's get back into the Kings. Did they get any help yesterday? We'll have more takeaways from yesterday's game. And I have a big Kings question that I think we're going to need to answer here over the next couple of weeks. But before we do that, I didn't have an underdog lineup last night. But I've got one tonight, fresh off my win on what night was it? Tuesday night?
Mm-hmm.
I got a win on Tuesday. Here's the lineup I'm rolling with tonight. No Kings game, obviously. So I'm looking at the Warriors in the Magic game. I'm going Stephen Curry lower than 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I think the Magic are really good defensively. They have the kind of length that can bother Steph. Paolo Banchero, I'm going higher than 34.5 points, rebounds, assists, because I don't think the Warriors have a player who can effectively guard Paolo Banchero. So I think he might have a big game. And then Bradley Beal, just 18.5 points for the Suns against the... Standby. I lost track of who the Suns are playing.
Mm.
Here we go. I think it's the Pelicans. Yeah, it's the Pelicans. So Bradley Beal, 18.5 points. It looks like he's back in the starting lineup for the Suns. So I'm going to go Bradley Beal higher than 18.5 points. That's what I'm doing on Underdog's Daily Fantasy, Underdog Pick'em. It is my favorite way to watch sports, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. So join me. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using the promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. All right, we're diving back into the Kings next. He's James. Kyle, we're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo's already in the building. Look at that. Hey, Damon.
There he is.
He can't see us. That's fine. Also, coming up at noon, that guy Steven in the chat, who was really upset that we were talking about the 49ers or something.
Oh.
I don't know.
We should just keep talking about the 49ers then.
Everybody,
Steven.
Locked in. Taking a look around the league last night, the Kings helped themselves with a win. Unfortunately, they didn't get a ton of help above them. The Clippers held on to beat the Chicago Bulls 122-117, so the Kings did not gain a game on the number six seed. But 6 through 10 in the West remain separated by two games.
Mm. It's crazy how close it is. This is the same thing it was last year, right?
Yeah.
Like every game mattered so much, and you've got to keep winning. You got to hold on. It's going to be really difficult.
I'm trying to decide. Somebody in the chatty house asked a question the other day. Do you prefer the play-in tournament or just the top eight? And I prefer the play-in because I like the games. Mm-hmm. I just like the one and done nature of the games. But man, can you imagine if just let's go back to the old ways? Where one through eight just made the playoffs. There's no play-in. Right now, Golden State would be a half game up on Dallas for the last playoff spot, and the Kings would be one game back. The race for those playoff spots, and the Kings would be two games back in the number six seed still. The race for those playoff spots would be insane. That would be so fun down the stretch.
Yeah, but I also think that what you're doing here now with the 10 is you're allowing Phoenix and Portland to at least have...
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, Phoenix, Portland, San Antonio, they still have a choice to make, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're going to go tank or whether they're going to play and try to get back in it. And in all honesty, I'd rather have like a sprint to the finish with as many teams as possible.
Sure, sure.
You know, but you know,
yeah, I like the play-in for sure.
Yeah,
it's just we talk about the Kings are now three games up on the Suns. It really looks like okay. We know the 10. We have our 10. Just what order are they going to be is still anybody's guess.
Okay, I would make the argument. I think we know 9 of the 10, but I'm not convinced that Dallas is going to be able to hold on. And again, Sacramento's schedule is brutal, but I'm not convinced Dallas is going to be able to hold on. They're just like in a bad place.
Okay.
And so there's a possibility that they fall out. But that would mean that somebody else would have to step up, and no one else seems to be stepping up at this point.
Yeah, man, the Suns have not been playing well. The Blazers, they got a win last night. They beat the Wizards. They're still 4.5 back of the last play-in spot. And then the Spurs, they lost to the Rockets, 118-106. De'Aaron Fox struggled again. They're now 5.5 back of the last play-in spot.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox has been a mess the last couple of games, and I am wondering if they are not going to shut him down.
I have a theory.
Uh-oh.
He will be shut down on March 8th.
After?
Yes.
Okay, after he plays in Sacramento.
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to keep playing. He's going to make his return to Sacramento. He's going to do everything he can to beat the Kings, and then they're going to shut him down.
What if they shut him down the game before, let things cool down, and then don't even have him show up in Sacramento, and then do their tribute video next year the first time he comes through Sacramento?
Whack!
When things have...
I hate it.
When things have cooled down.
No, there was booing for the promo the other day. I need this game now.
Yeah.
Next Friday, baby. Lock in. I can't wait.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm excited to see what happens. But, I mean, watching him last night, he goes 3 of 12 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. He has 7 points.
Ew.
7 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 turnovers. Yeah, he just, like, he was a negative 20 on the night. The entire starting lineup was bad. No one scored in double figures. But still, that's just one of those ones where you're looking at, like, man, is he okay? Is his hand okay? And does he have other things going on besides that?
Over his last 3 games, he is 12 of 49 from the field. 12. That is less than 25%.
That is less than 25%. That's wild.
And 3 of 18 from 3.
So, yeah, that's...
1
that's,
of 6?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's not good.
He has 37 points in those 3 games. 37 points on how many shots did I say? 49?
Yes.
Ugh. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and maybe it's just the Spurs are really, really ass without Victor Wembanyama, and that's playing into it. We talked about it when he was here. It's got to be the hand. And it wouldn't shock me at all if he's waiting to play here and then gets whatever he need done to his hands.
I'm here for it either way. Like, again, I can understand... shutting it down and making sure that you're healthy for next season. The Spurs are not going anywhere this year, especially when Victor Wembanyama was ruled out for the final, you know, 27 games or whatever. Like, they're not going anywhere. So yeah. I want to see what they look like down the road.
So the Kings did get a little bit of help last night with the Spurs losing, but I think they are way out of it. The Clippers and Blazers winning is not super helpful for Sacramento.
Yeah, the Spurs are 5.5 games back. I mean, they're not really like in it at this point.
No. I have a question for you.
Okay.
And I please take this the right way. Are we sure the Kings are better under Doug Christie than they were under Mike Brown? Or did they get hot for 2 weeks? Because if you take out the 7-1 start, the Kings are 10-9 under Doug Christie.
Okay.
If you take out that hot 2 weeks where they won 7 in a row, they're 23-28.
Okay, but then I feel like in order to get to the true answer to that, it's like do we take out the 5-game losing streak for Mike Brown and say, okay, like sure. What were they before?
Okay, so let's take that out. Now they're 23-23.
Okay, so they're a 500 team before the 5-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
and they're a 10-9 team, you know, since
they were hot for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. Like they were
I don't either.
A rudderless team before, and yeah. Now I don't consider them a rudderless team as much as a team that doesn't have like a true pecking order, and mm-hmm. they're trying to figure each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, you know, again, we've said this a bunch of times, like Doug and I have been friends for a long time, but when it comes to the basketball side, you know, if he makes mistakes, if he doesn't play, if his team isn't playing mm-hmm. well or anything else, like we have to ask the tough questions. We've got to have the tough conversations all the time. The fact that a coach took over a team in turmoil and goes 17-10, like that's really impressive. Like it doesn't matter whether we take away the losing of the win streak mm-hmm. or not. Like this is a team that has gone through like major trauma multiple times already this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, like the Mike Brown thing in NBA standards is a trauma. The you know, De'Aaron Fox basically making it known that he doesn't want to be there and then being here for another 3 weeks or whatever it was, four mm-hmm. weeks. That was a trauma that they were enduring, which is why it was surprising they went on a 7-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like once he's traded, that's another trauma. And so this is a team that, you know, like to be, I don't know how he's kept them together and the wheels on the bus as best as he can. When we talk about like some of the problems that this team has or what they have long term,
mm-hmm.
it's not so much like whether they're going to win or lose the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Like the strength of schedule is what it is. You can't get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that if we really want to look at this, like Mike Brown, the reason why the Kings' strength of schedule is what it is right now is because they played the easiest like first half schedule in the league,
mm-hmm.
and now they're playing the rest of it. And so I think that they are a better, I think they're a more talented team right now. They're not as cohesive, but that's because they have too many moving pieces. Mm-hmm. Has Doug made all the right moves? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Are there things that he can do better? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But when Keon Ellis, you know, last night plays 33 minutes in a game when he came into the day questionable with a rolled ankle, I mean, he's trying to put his best players on the court.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to find the combinations, and it's not easy. It's not easy to tell Trey Lyles, hey, man, you're not going to play, and I'm going to put in Jake LaRavia, who scored 3 points in the last 4 games.
Right.
He's going to play, and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not simple to do, and so I do think he's doing a good job. He's trying to get everybody through like the tough time and what's happening here. And I think like if there's a player who's having like an existential crisis, it's Domas right now, trying to figure out where he fits in this new world order with the Kings after signing a massive extension and, you know, knowing he's going to be here. So you're seeing all of these things play out at the same time, and it's not always easy.
That's kind of okay. So what I was getting at, this was not a Doug thing. At least I didn't want it to be. That was just kind of the point of the like line of demarcation of okay, here's the next part of the schedule. I guess the reason I ask this is because when I'm trying to suss out what I think the ceiling is or what the next 8 games, because again, it was those 11 games coming out of the break, right? They're 2-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So can they go 5-3 in the next 8? And like the answer is always maybe. Again, we don't know. They might go 8-0.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows? Like that, again, that's why sports are great. The thing I keep butting up against is I have this thought in my head of, man, there's this ceiling that's really high for this team. Because remember when they won 7 in a row? They just need to get back to that. But the team now is a lot different than it was during those 7 games. And if you look at the 7 games in the scope of the entire schedule, that looks like more of a hot streak than, hey, they figured it out for those 2 weeks. What did they figure out? They need to get back to it. So the thing I keep running up against is I want so badly to find reasons that this team is better than about 500. And I can't. Because the further away we get from that 7-game win streak, that and the reason I bring this up now is because they've now won 2 in a row.
They've won 5 out of 7.
Yep. They've won, and they won their last 2 coming out of the break and blowout wins. Like, okay, that's awesome. But I don't think there's another like 7-game win streak coming, because I don't think that this collection of players is capable of that.
I don't know that they've ever had a collection of players here in the last couple of years that were capable of rattling us 7 in a row in this schedule either. So like I think it, when that's you fair. Really get down to it, like it's the 7 in a row, it just happened and they lost the last game, like the mm-hmm. ability to win 7 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They had won 3. They lost to New Orleans. If they would have won that game, that would have been 4. Then you had a marginal team in Golden State. If mm-hmm. you could have got that win, this was a 7. Last night's game and Charlotte, that's 7 in a row that you could have won. And they win 5 out of 7 in that range.
Mm-hmm.
That's still really good.
Sure.
It's just you would have hoped that looking at the teams, you know, what, 4 14-win teams mm-hmm. or 5 games against 14-win teams, and then a Dallas Mavericks team in complete shambles, and then a team like Golden State,
mm-hmm.
like you would hope 6-1 or 5-2 out of that, and even more like 6-1, but that didn't happen. And we talked about how that was such a huge little window. But still, I think that there is positivity here that they're actually getting the wins. It's just, what do you look like against good teams? And we're gonna see that play out here very quickly.
Can you get 5-3 in the next 8? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Everyone says, oh, you beat Houston twice already this season. It's like, yeah, this isn't the same team. And
no,
Houston is.
No, for sure.
Although Houston isn't playing as well as they were before.
You can get Dallas, you can get Phoenix, you can get the Spurs. That's 3 I think they'll get. And then you need 1 of Houston, Denver, Clips, Knicks, and Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they can.
You got to beat up on the Clips. You got to find a way, and you've got to beat the Warriors, because they have a 2-1 advantage on the Warriors right now. I think they're 0-2 against the Clippers. But you know, the Dallas game has value too, because you're playing a team that
they're all going to be huge.
Yeah.
Pause.
But I think when we're talking about like strength of schedule is one thing, but also tiebreakers is another. And the Kings mm-hmm. have tiebreakers against lots of teams around their range. The one team, you know, again, they've beat Dallas 2 already. They've already won that season series.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost to Denver twice. They have 2 more games against Denver.
That's not going to matter. Denver's way up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Denver is way up there. You're not going to worry about them. But the Warriors, you're 2-1. The Rockets, you're 2-0 with only 1 game left. You've already won that season series.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers, you need to win the next 2 to split. The Grizzlies aren't going to matter at all, but the Timberwolves, you split the Timberwolves series, and that's big. So there's all of these other series that you've got to like keep your eye on. Mm-hmm. The Suns, the Kings are up 2-0 on the Suns.
Yeah.
And so if the Suns make some rally here, you got 2 more games against the Suns, but all you need is 1 to win the season series, which gives you not just like a three game lead over them, but it gives you the tiebreaker, which means a 4 game lead.
The Suns are so miserable.
Yeah.
They're not even a factor in my brain anymore.
That's funny. I think what's interesting is Portland. You've lost to Portland twice.
Ooh.
So you're 1-2 against Portland, and you got one game left, which is on the 27th. The Spurs, you're 1-2 against the Spurs, and you got one game left with the Spurs. Like, these are things, like, I don't think that those teams are truly going to make a run at the Kings. Mm-hmm. But if they do, if they make a run at that, like, 9-10 spot, you need to win all of the games against those teams.
Let's get James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts on the game last night. We'll also do some scoreboard watching tonight, and then we'll hand the handoff. We'll have the handoff that's coming up with one of D'Lo or KC. I'm guessing D'Lo because he's here. I don't know. One of D'Lo or KC will join us in about half an hour right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center. Sunshine, rainbows.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I don't think there's any reason this team can't go to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think it's funny, like, there's this idea that, like, everything is negative and, like, we're trying to be as honest as possible. Like, you wouldn't want us coming on here and you know, spouting out that, like, this is the greatest team the Kings have ever assembled, and I've said it multiple times. I think this roster is more talented than it was in December.
Yes, I agree with you. It is certainly a deeper roster.
Yeah.
I don't get the roster. I'm not going to get the roster.
Nope.
To understand what they're doing with their current roster, I'm going to have to see them win, like, several games in a row, or at least play really well several games in a row against, like, really good teams. Mm-hmm. And if you're fine with, yeah, hey, they're going to win about half their games, that's going to be awesome. Guys, they're going to make the play-in. What are you worried about? Cool. I had higher expectations for them. Excuse me.
It's okay to have higher expectations. We do have an official statement that just came out from the San Antonio Spurs.
Great, please.
Head coach Greg Popovich. I've decided not to return to the sidelines this season. Mitch Johnson and his staff have done a wonderful job, and the resolve and professionalism the players have shown sticking together during a challenging season has been outstanding. I will continue to focus on my health with the hope that I can return to coaching in the future. Greg Popovich.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, man. Rooting for Pop.
Yeah, me too.
For sure. Any updates with that, we'll obviously have them for you. But it sounds like we're not going to get another one until he decides to return.
Or if he decides he can't return.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, look, he's the oldest NBA head coach right now. He had a stroke. And, you know, we wish him the best.
Yep.
But it's not easy. It's not easy to recover. And the grind of an NBA head coaching job is just absolutely outlandish.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
For sure. Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. TC, what's going on, man?
Hammer Kyle, what's up?
Chilling, bro.
TC.
Oh, man, just vibing. So nice. I like what I've seen last night. I know it was the Jazz and whatever, but I like what I've seen. What I mean by that is I like how the team is getting into a flow. Zach's found his shot again. You know, it like he wasn't even touching the rim, bro. It was just all net last night. Valanciunas, I like the team camaraderie, bro, how they're coming together and playing together. That can be scary. So my take right now is I'll take how bad we've been, just have the last laugh later when making the playoffs and all that at the end of the season, bro, in my opinion. Also, question, though, I'm being honest right here, Kyle and Ham, answer this. So if Monty was let go at the end of the year, I think it would be a good fit. Do you think Bob Myers and Doug would be a good fit?
Thanks, DC. Appreciate it.
You know, I don't know.
Can I keep it a stack?
Yeah, go
on
ahead.
On Bob Myers?
Okay.
I don't know that Bob Myers is that good of a GM. Bob Myers benefited a lot from the presence of Jerry West. Bob Myers was awesome with people. He was awesome at keeping that group together and that core together. I think he was a big reason that they were able to do that. I don't know that Bob Myers stepping into this situation is like auto fix. The Kings are ready to go because now they have Bob Myers. I just don't know. I don't know how impactful he would be in this spot where you kind of need to make some pretty significant changes. But like you go look, it wasn't like Golden State was just pumping out draft pick after draft pick, and man, look at all these awesome players they're developing. And like, no, they had Steph and Clay and Draymond, and they just knew exactly what formula they needed to put around them. And he did, like I said, he did a good job there. I just don't know that he is like home run slam dunk. He's going to fix the Kings.
I would agree. Like, I do think that Bob Myers, because Bob Myers has connections all over the league, mm-hmm. right? He was an agent for years. Mm-hmm. He is well liked, well respected.
Yep.
So that might get you somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like his draft pick, like history is proven out to
not
be
not great,
a pretty big disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And his ability to make the big trade and stuff like that. Sure. Like he did come away. He's the one who traded for Durant, I believe.
They signed him.
They were able to get him in the building. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, like the core of that team was built by the group before, which was, mm-hmm. it wasn't even Rod Higgins. It was, I can't remember who their GM was before.
Larry Riley.
Yeah. He's the one who made the draft picks. He's the one that built like the core of what that team was going to become.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I think the biggest thing that I would point out with Bob is that I think Bob and Steve Kerr had a very symbiotic relationship.
Correct.
And a very strong bond.
Mm-hmm.
And when Steve Kerr needed something, the general manager would go out and try to address that need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they won 4 championships, outside of the fact that they had great players to come into that run with. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there is a way in which Bob Myers can work with everybody, and Bob Myers might be able to be a guy who can like bring everybody into the same room and say, hey, let's get this done. But I'd also point out like the great combo that the Kings had of Jeff Petrie and Rick Adelman.
Mm-hmm.
There was a huge trust because they had known each other for decades. They'd played mm-hmm. basketball together as pros.
Mm-hmm.
They were together in Portland as coach and assistant GM and coach and general manager. They had had this long standing. And when they got to Sacramento, when they both landed in Sacramento, of course, Petrie was earlier than Adelman, but they worked together to like figure everything out as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think we just keep missing here in Sacramento.
Sure.
So whatever it is, whoever it is that you want to connect, if it's going to be Doug Christie or if it's going to be a different coach, but if you're mm-hmm. going to bring in Bob Myers needs to have his guy that he feels, or a guy that he feels comfortable with and can break bread with, and they can grow together.
I wonder if there's somebody with, if there's somebody with like GM experience who Doug played with. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Joking. Anyways,
but that was a Vlade Divac.
There you
joke.
Go. Here we go. We're on the same page now. Same page, same line, same word, same letter. The one thing with Bob Myers specifically is if he had the ability to get to run basketball and it was just him and the people he hired, because the ownership group has a level of respect for him where it would just be like, hey, this is your bag, you go do this.
I hope so.
That would be the single biggest benefit to bringing in Bob Myers.
Yeah.
I think he would have that level of gravitas with not only the rest of the league, like you pointed out.
Yeah.
But with the Kings organization.
The cachet within the building. Where
cachet,
he could literally say, hey, look, this is my show, back off.
Yes.
Like, I'm not dealing with all this other
Correct.
Stuff.
We're not doing assistant GM. We're not doing anything else.
And if it's he's hired the assistant GM. We're not doing a magical guy in the sky, Joe Dumars hire, that is like complicating the power structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not bringing in this other piece, unless it's someone that Bob Myers says, hey,
right.
I want to bring in an advisor that's like whoever it might be.
Sure, sure. But it has to be his hire.
Exactly.
It can't be, and this is true for any GM, mm-hmm. by the way. I just think Bob Myers would have the cachet to ask for that and get it.
Okay.
Which I think would be the biggest benefit to bringing him in. You want to squeeze 6 quick thoughts in here?
Sure.
Okay, great. We're going to do that right now.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Thumbs up.
Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
James Hamm, six quick thoughts from last night's game. Number one.
Keegan Murray came to play.
Boy, did he.
You know, he had his first 20-point game since November 24th, literally 2 days before Thanksgiving, I think, or right around that. His season-high 26 points. Like, we need to see more of that. We need to see more of him being assertive and him taking 16 shots. But we also need to see his teammates understand that this is the future of the Kings. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to be good down the road, that mm-hmm. the pathway to being good is still through Keegan Murray. And if they don't understand that, then that's on them. And when they struggle, you know, to end the season or they struggle next season and keep wondering why they don't have that other guy, it's because you like basically turned off like the grow lamp.
You yeah, did. Sure.
You did. You starved whatever it is that Keegan Murray was going to be, and you didn't let him become the player he should be.
He's almost 25. And we're still sitting here on February 27th of his third year going, now, if he can do this every night.
That's tough.
That's really tough. I hope he can. I am a big Keegan Murray guy. I am very skeptical. But last night was incredible. Last night was awesome. Would love to see it tomorrow night as well. And then the night after that and the night after that.
I think your skepticism and my skepticism are slightly different. I think that your skepticism is that he's 25 and almost 25 and that he might just be who he is. And mm-hmm. my skepticism is that the Kings keep adding players that don't allow him to become any type of player other than, you know, a 12-point per game, 14-point per game guy. And the roster construction itself is as limiting as anything else. So, yep.
That's fair.
Yeah. Either way, it's a good discussion.
Number two.
Zach LaVine kept it going. 22 points, 8 rebounds. I think the 8 rebounds were really impressive. Mm-hmm. He's hitting his threes, but I've seen this a couple of times. When Zach LaVine wakes up in a game, it's because he gets some big fast break dunk or big fast break layup or mm-hmm. like, my goodness, Malik Monk, that half court pass.
That was sick.
To Zach LaVine for a gigantic alley-oop yeah. dunk, that woke up Zach LaVine. Yeah. And I find that there are moments in a game where Zach just becomes a lot more engaged overall, and it's predicated off of him getting to do something that gets the crowd excited that you know, is like an oh-my-gosh moment. And you got to find those oh-my-gosh moments for him early in games yep. and see if you can, you know, sort of pull that out of him.
Number three?
Yeah. What's wrong with Domas? 12 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Is the second straight game without a double-double. And my biggest concern wasn't that, is that he got smoked by Walker Kessler. Mm-hmm. And none of that to me was okay. Mm-hmm. He needs to figure out where he fits into the grand scheme of this team. And, you know, him and Doug have a very close relationship. They spent 2 summers together. Mm-hmm. They need to get on the same page about what this looks like next year and the year after. And how do you build this thing? And it's tough to do that when you don't know if that coach is going to be there next year mm-hmm. and the year after. But for right now, I think Domas is a little lost in who he is to this team.
Which, to me, can't happen.
No.
And I'm... We have a bit... Okay, so like Keegan. And I saw somebody say, are these guys only watching half the game? Isn't Keegan the best defender on the Kings? Justin Quarles asked that. No, Keegan's awesome defensively.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a lot. The ceiling for him offensively is starting to fluctuate some. And I think it's coming down.
Yeah.
Well, defensively, he's awesome. He's going to be a really good NBA player for a long time. Just how good is he going to be?
No, I totally agree. But like when you drafted him, a player with the 4th overall pick, you didn't draft him to be like a slightly better offensive version of Dorian Finney-Smith. You drafted him to be a very, very good 18 to 20 point per game scorer yes. at the NBA level.
Yes.
And, you know, he showed signs that he was going that direction mm-hmm. and that stopped. And then like someone threw it in reverse and yeah. went backwards. Defensively, he's been great.
He's outstanding.
Yeah.
Really good player. And he's going to be a good player for a long time. Should be part of the Kings for a long time. Just adjusting where he fits in that hierarchy and that pecking order. Anyways, wanted to clear that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know that there's a world for the Kings where Domantas Sabonis is putting up like 12-9-5 consistently, and they're the best version of themselves. It seems like the best version of the Kings is one where he is just consistently involved offensively.
Yeah, the best version of the Kings is where you don't pencil in, you write in like permanent marker 2014-6 for Domantas Sabonis. And the variable on what that is like a little bit here, a little bit there. Some nights it's 24, some nights it's 18. But at the end of the day, that's not what we're seeing right now.
He's also not been shooting it great from three.
No.
He's starting to come down to earth from beyond the arc.
He's just lost.
Yep.
Yeah.
He has to be better, for sure. Number four.
The other Lithuanian, Jonas Valančiūnas, was absolutely incredible.
He's really good.
15.7 rebounds. He changed the whole complexity. Just imagine the Kings bench right now with Alex Len as the center and not Valančiūnas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we would like what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's why we asked for the front office to go get a backup center for the entire season.
Specifically him.
Yeah.
Jonas Valančiūnas is the guy that we in the Chatty House and Kings fans everywhere were asking for in the offseason.
It's amazing how having somebody who is a very, very good backup center, helps your team get better.
They should just don't hire a GM. Just crowdsource the fans.
That's right. Just listen to the insiders.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday.
That's what I do.
10 to noon on ESPN.
It's a hell of a lot cheaper.
1320.
What was that? Yeah, Jonas Valančiūnas, good player. I don't have a lot to add. Number five.
DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk were solid. I think their end stat lines were better than their actual production on the court.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, you're okay with the production. Monk has been in a shooting funk.
Can we stop on the Malik Monk thing real quick?
Yeah.
It felt like he was forcing a lot of shots last night.
Yeah, and again,
especially early, like just crazy step backs and like driving into the lane and trying these acrobatic layups through like four defenders. It's like he's trying to shoot his way out of whatever little funk he's in.
Yeah, I just think it's another sign of this team not being like fully gelled.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's a guy who looks like he's trying too hard,
mm-hmm.
But trying too hard. He finishes with 13 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists.
Yeah.
You know, so that's good. And DeMar DeRozan finished his game with 19 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and 2 steals, mm-hmm. and even had a block. Like, again, they didn't stand out as the reason why the Kings won the game.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the end stat lines, you're like, okay, that's if you can get 19, 8, and 6 with 2 steals and a block out of DeMar DeRozan,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that, like, I would take that for the next 5 years. I don't care how old he is.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's like, hey, look at that. That's really good outing.
But that's kind of when we talk about the cohesiveness mm-hmm. of this team. If this is kind of what they were getting night in and night out,
mm-hmm.
where somebody shines, maybe it's Keegan, maybe it's DeMar, maybe it's LaVine, maybe it's Monk, maybe it's Domas. You got somebody shining, and then everybody else chipping in. Zach LaVine, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Malik Monk, 9 boards, 6 assists, and a steal. He had 13 points. Domas, not his best night, 12-9-5, but he had a steal and a block. It's like, if that is where you start to go, okay, if they can consistently figure out how to do this, that's when I'll start to buy into whatever this collection of players is.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to see more before I'm like, oh, okay, they're good now. They figured it out.
Yeah, and it's weird. You see all these stats and you're like, oh, this should have been incredible. And it was really good, but it wasn't incredible. And yeah, that's where you're still wondering, like, how can they piece it together and just smooth the edges off,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, we talked about this. It feels like their floor dropped. Well, okay, now they're raising their floor. That's good. But their ceiling has not moved for me. And that's what we're talking about. Can you raise that ceiling?
Yeah, well, I think their ceiling came crashing down, and now the ceiling's much lower than we thought it was in the beginning of the
right,
year.
Right.
And can you push it back up a little bit?
Yeah. Number six.
Keon Ellis, he was questionable coming into the day. With a sprained right ankle.
Was not questionable coming out of the day.
He played 33 minutes, which is crazy. And not only that, but his early buckets in the game, he had a 3, he had a 2, and then another 3.
Just keeps doing it.
They were in huge moments where this team was teetering and did not look good. And he, to me, is somebody who helped change the momentum of the game multiple times, not just with his defensive effort, but also with his ability to hit big shots in big moments. And like, look, I just think he's such a talented player that the Kings need to make sure is around for a long, long time.
Yeah, for sure. 6 points in the third quarter, had a quick bucket when he came in. But the final 6 minutes-ish of the first quarter, it's Keon hits the floor and the Kings look different.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every day. Plus 22 last night.
It's not a surprise, right?
Not a surprise at all.
Yeah.
But, nah, I don't want to get into it. We got to step aside. We all know where we land on the Keon should start thing. He's James. I'm Kyle. The handoff. It looks like Kenny Caraway is going to join us next on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 and it's Sacramento Sports Center.
Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Insiders. Mattson, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I don't want to. We were talking drinks at the break, and Kenny Caraway is here for the handoff. In fact, hang on.
It's time now for the handoff.
That is
taking the handoff from James and Kyle today. Here's KC Kenny Caraway.
Hey, there he is. Kenny Caraway in the building. No, but Kenny, you said that lately you're in a spot where sometimes you'll order an old fashioned.
Yeah, almost always. Like that ends up being the go-to. If they don't have cranberry and vodka, or I'm like at somebody's house and they're like, hey, do you want an old fashioned? Shout out to my man Elias. He always makes some really good old fashions. Yeah, sure. It's cool.
I'll also, if I'm out and just need, I will, Wild Turkey 101.
Mm-hmm.
Is outstanding.
What is that?
Just neat. It's just whiskey. Just strong whiskey.
Okay.
It's outstanding. It's bourbon. But yeah.
Yeah. I have a bottle at home.
I'm not a liqueur connoisseur. So I end up just drinking anything.
All right. That's
now,
fair.
I did say, and like I said, this is for real, for real. Like, ain't nothing to do with money. The McQueen is really good. And you know why the McQueen is really good? Because you can't taste the alcohol. That's why it's really good.
Well, typically vodka doesn't have a bunch of taste, but gin does. Mm. And so it is good. If it's a smooth gin, I'm not a huge gin drinker.
I'm not a gin guy at all.
Yeah.
I don't think I am either, but I can't taste the gin, so it's
there you go, so it doesn't matter.
It's awesome.
The Kings won last night.
Yes, they did.
Did we get a video last night?
We did. Yeah.
Oh,
Keith Van Horn was in there. Alex Smith was in there. Who else was in there? I got to check that out. Yeah, a couple. You know, there's not a lot going on.
Do you plan this ahead of time, or do you just hit at and just start thinking?
Just start thinking.
Okay.
You know, just kind of freestyle the whole thing.
We got Houston coming up, so Beyonce.
Beyonce, definitely. Lil Flip will probably be on there.
Nice. I love that.
You know,
Bun B a Houston guy?
Bun B is a Houston guy.
Let's do that.
Pimp C, RIP, we're going to get him. Mm. I mean, here's the thing. Nowadays, you know, RIP to some of the legends, they can get it too. The other day against the Hornets.
Earl Campbell, maybe?
Earl Campbell, for sure.
Yep.
Travis Scott, he'll get some of that. The other day, Dean Smith got it.
Oh, he did. I saw that. That was tough.
You know, but it's out of respect.
No doubt. It's like you're a legend. I associate you with this.
Absolutely.
Thing.
Who else got?
Right, for sure.
Oh, some Utah, the Utah football team. The Utah Hockey Club. They got it.
Oh, yeah. No, they have an NHL team now.
And then one of the AAU Utah teams. Oh, and Karl Malone, too.
Ew.
Yeah.
Nah.
Hmm.
That was not out of respect.
That was out of blatant disrespect. All disrespect.
Yeah, they got that dub, man. And really, they kind of handled business in this little stretch of seven that I was looking at. Now it turns up a little bit.
I have reached a point where when Keegan does what he does last night, I almost get frustrated. Because
he was outstanding last night.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
And James and I talked about this earlier, and again, this is two separate things. In the scope of last night's game, Keegan was excellent. A huge reason they won by as many points as they did, right? But on the other hand, zooming out, you're going, why can't I get something like that or a close facsimile to it every night? He's aggressive. He's knocking down his shots. He's always really good defensively. But he's knocking down his shots. He's taking the second most shots on the team. I'm just waiting for. I'm still sitting around waiting to get it.
I think you're going
to
be waiting forever. I just don't think that's in his. It's not in his veins. It's not in his DNA. Sometimes he's going to fall back a little too much. And I've accepted it from Keegan. I've accepted it. Like it's.
Sure.
I think he's a good ball player. I want him here. I think James says it best. You need more Keegan Murrays on your team.
For sure.
So it's not like move on from him or anything else like that. But as far as expecting something like that every night or the majority of the nights, until further notice, like, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
I think his career path could look very similar to what Cam Johnson's has looked like, where there will come a point in his career where he might be one of the better offensive players on a team just by default because other players are no longer there, whether it's in Sacramento or somewhere else. And he might average 19, 20 points per game. People are going to be like, man, he finally arrived. It's like, well, no, just the opportunity's different, right? And so I think that there's going to be moments like that, but I really hope that he gets back up to like the 15 to 16 point per game area as a pro because I think he's better than the 12 point per game guy.
Yeah.
And I honestly think, like, again, the Kings have played a huge role in him not being that guy this season. But if they're going to be a good team moving forward, he's still the avenue to, you know, it's him and Keon that are your young players, maybe Devin Carter, maybe not, like, who knows. But, like, that's the way that you get better is to have those players, like, raise you up.
Yeah.
And if you don't allow them to raise you up, then you're just going to float about what you were before.
Yeah.
And that's where we kind of got stuck here.
Like a lot of people, you know, the joke in the chatty house, everything is, I don't like Keegan Murray. I like Keegan just fine. Outside of him missing too many wide open threes this year for the shooter I believe he is,
yeah,
if I had the greatest season, I'd give it like a B. Like, he's been fine. Like, he's fine.
That's it. Is his ceiling as a player is just not where we thought it was.
That's the only thing I ever say is, like, I don't look at him the way maybe others do as far as, like, oh, no, he could be this and that. No, he's about where he's going to be, and that's okay. Like,
he can be a starter on a championship team.
Yeah, he's cool. Yes, like, 100%. Keegan is just fine. Yep. He's just fine. I think he's had a good season, and last night he was spectacular. You saw it from the start. Like I said, that first half, I remember I tweeted it out. He was damn near perfect in that first half, just on both ends the way he played.
And then kept it up in through the second half, which is a big one.
I think one of the problems that we see is that you would give him a B, and then if you look at Sabonis, you probably give him an A. You give DeMar DeRozan probably a B. I think we can keep going down the list, and, like, individually they grade out okay, but as a collective, they're a C. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem.
Yes.
It's that it doesn't matter how good we grade each individual player, the collection has not worked at all.
Yeah. That gave me an idea for a bit. We're going to flesh that out tomorrow.
Damn it.
about 4 minutes here. Here's who we're rooting for tonight.
Okay.
First of all, you brought this up the other day about how nobody talks about Giannis as the MVP of the league.
Mm-hmm.
They do on ESPN, they have players to watch, and they have the top player from each team and just their basic stat line, points, rebounds, assists. It's Jokic because it's Jokic v. Giannis tonight.
Oh,
Bucks Nuggets
okay.
in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You have Jokic at 29.2 points, 12.6 boards, 10.4 assists. Giannis, 31 points, 12 boards, 5.8 assists. Silly how good those dudes are. Anyways.
Those dudes are crazy.
Kings fans, here's who you're rooting for tonight. You're rooting for the Magic against the Golden State Warriors.
Absolutely.
You need Golden State to get knocked down a peg. You need them to lose in Orlando. Mm-hmm. The Mavericks are at the Hornets. Big Hornets fans tonight.
Here we go. I'll put it to you real quick. If I was a Mavericks fan, MFFL, you know what I mean? MFFL.
Yeah.
I'd be like, man, they're not going to keep getting beat up like this. I'd be a little nervous. I'd be like, man, they're not just going to keep getting
slapped up.
They're
not going to lose by 40 every night.
At some point, they're going to, like, play a good game. And you hope that their one good game in five games was the Laker game.
Yeah.
But I'd be a little nervous if I was a Mavs fan.
No doubt. You're rooting for the Pelicans over the Suns. You need the Suns to keep losing. Well, don't feel great about
that. Although the Pelicans, they won like 3 in a row or something.
Yeah, the Pels are rolling a little bit. They've punished.
And the Suns,
teams.
I think, all hate each other. The Suns might just collectively. I thought it was just a Brad Beal thing. It might just be everybody.
At the very least, I don't think they like Bud.
Yeah.
Man, again.
Again, that's good. He's going to stay. But if they moved on, that'd be like four coaches in four seasons, right?
Are they? Is he, though?
I think
I could see Matt Ishbia.
That'd be crazy. Like, you got to at least let him start the season next year. That'd be crazy. Four coaches in 4 years? Wow.
Can't imagine anywhere that would do that.
They don't even do that. Zach don't even do that.
And then you got the Timberwolves
four real
at the
coaches,
Lakers.
Not like interim, like four real coaches.
The Timberwolves at the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, all right. I mean,
you know what you, I mean, you know what you have to do,
man,
Kenny.
Come on, man.
You
I'm just
what you
saying.
Have to do.
Like, what you want me to do? I don't like them, but what you want me to do? I need the
okay.
Kings.
Lake show.
I'm just saying. I need the Kings to move up.
You do. You need the. You don't need the Lakers to win. You need the Timberwolves to lose.
That's all I'm asking for.
That's it. Just
and,
a bad
and,
a bad
and my
game
dude
for the
too. I hope Conley has a bad game. I don't hope Ant-Man has because Ant's my boy.
Yeah. Well, that and a loss to by Minnesota would put them tied with the Kings in the loss column.
Mm.
Yeah, 28.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
Need that Timberwolves loss.
I need that. Yeah.
So that's where Magic, Hornets, Pelicans, Lakers. That's who the Kings need to win.
How many do you think we get tonight? Well, that's four games, right? I think we get
I think
two.
The Wolves lose two. To the Lakers.
Yeah. Orlando's a little sneaky.
Orlando could beat the Warriors.
Yep.
It's in Orlando.
They're 6-1.
The last time they played, it would end up being close. But that was before Jimmy, so it really don't even matter.
God, Golden State's kind of rolling right now.
They do.
Is Zion
Orlando
playing?
Might just be a bad matchup.
Maybe so.
They got a lot of size, and the Warriors do not.
They don't score enough, though.
That's true. That's true.
A tough one. I don't know which, I don't know which game is the Zion game because it's a back-to-back. So I don't know which one is the Zion game.
We asked this question yesterday. We have 50 seconds.
Okay.
I think, hang on. 50, 10, 49, 50. Oh, no, we're good. Okay, now we have 50 seconds.
Zion's playing. Let's go.
Here we go. Here
so
we
they
go.
Gotta
Let's go,
get
go,
this
Pels.
One. They got to go, get this Pels. One because he ain't going to be there tomorrow.
Come on, boys. Yeah. Let's go. somebody asked this in the chatty house yesterday, or called, I forget. Somebody asked this yesterday. Would you rather have, like, you're going to acquire one of these players. The league says you have to trade for one of these two players, Kings.
Okay.
Would you rather trade for Zion or Joel Embiid?
Zion.
I think that's where I'm at.
Joel, as great as he is, he might.
Is he playing 100 more games?
It's tough to see.
Yeah.
Especially with the type of surgery, the procedure they're talking about.
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's tough. All right.
Thanks.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water, be nice to people. We'll see you tomorrow. All right.